This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center, the official show of FY 2013. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are two of the best tea leaf readers in the government market, the dynamic duo of Deltek, Rayman and K-Plex, Ray Bjorklund and Kevin Plexico. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And if people are wondering about the superpower aspect, these guys can find very tiny pertinent numbers in massive reports. So that's the skill they bring to the table. Not only that, they tell us what they mean, which is the value they have brought to the market now collectively for, we'll just call it a really long time. Kevin, you... just celebrated 20 years with Input/Deltek. Congratulations.
I did. Thank you very much.
Very cool. And Ray, we won't talk about how long you and I have been in the market, but Ray, for those who don't know, was the very first guest on Amtower Off Center almost 6 years ago.
I won't take that personally.
Well, actually, I didn't know you then. I knew who you were, but I had never met you. And I just thought, you know, getting Ray on the show would be a blast. And I have pictures of us. We were having pretty good damn time.
Yep.
So there we go. I don't care who starts first, but aftermath of the election, what, if anything, is going to change? So, Rayman, go for it.
Not much. We still have the same president. We pretty much got the same executive branch. Admittedly, I'm sure they're very tired, not only from the campaign, but tired of slogging through their policy and their agenda for the last several years. Consequently, there'll be some change in leadership among the cabinet and elsewhere with the administration. We pretty much got the same Congress, too. You know, been some puts and takes, but, you know, it's unfortunately, we also have the same U.S. economy. And I think that we'll get in discussion later about fiscal cliff, but there's, you know, really, really big issues addressing both blue and red in this particular situation.
And Kevin?
I think probably the biggest change is now the election's behind us and the posturing that and the distraction that that represents in terms of how candidates think about what their remarks are going to be and positions they'll take on certain issues. You know, that election dynamic creates a very politicized environment as they try to differentiate themselves from each other. And now that that's behind us, hopefully we can get down to the work of compromise that's going to be needed to get us through this challenging environment that we're in.
Yeah, well, Mr. Romney's comments in his concession were certainly as gracious as I've ever heard in a concession speech. And Mr. Boehner, the next day, threw out an olive branch or two of his own, but then I hear from other segments that, well, we were reelected too, and we were reelected for a reason. So
there is no clear mandate for either blue or red.
No, but you know, how often does that happen? Even when President Reagan won with the landslide, the popular vote was not a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, electoral college aside, a lot of people like those raw numbers. And speaking of numbers, that's what you guys do. So if there is any impact here as far as whatever the federal spending is going to be, where is it most likely to take place? You know, I mean, we obviously have a lot of defense stuff. We have cyber, we have health. Where are them buckies going?
I think, you know, we really probably can't really have that conversation without talking about the fiscal cliff, because that's really the key driving issues right now is around the tax policies that are scheduled to expire. And unlike the debt ceiling issue of last time that brought about the Budget Control Act and sequestration that we're now talking so much about, the Republicans had most of the leverage at the time, and that's not really the case now. Most of the issues raise taxes if things are let alone, and so Republicans have a lot more at stake and a lot less leverage than they did last time.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get to some level of compromise between the White House and the Hill, so we can avoid the fiscal cliff. And I have, despite the inability of Washington to really work together these days, I still have faith that something's going to be hashed out by the end of the calendar year, and so we can avoid at least putting both feet off the fiscal cliff. But, there's something else to recognize that particularly from a contractor viewpoint, those contractors interested in government business, is that this is the ship of state. And a ship of state does not turn on a dime. And the ship of state is also very hard to slow down. So even if we approach a fiscal cliff, even if we take one or maybe two steps off that cliff, the effects on the on contractors are going to be delayed. It's going to be like 6 months, 9 months, a year before contractors will actually see those effects, if in fact they do occur. And I still think there's a low likelihood, personally think there's a low likelihood of occurrence.
Okay, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think sequestration is that self-inflicted punishment that was never intended to happen. And I don't think it still will happen. I think the chances that they'll either delay the effect or potentially even take it off the table with some kind of more grand solution are more likely than sequestration actually going into effect. But to Ray's point, I think there are some elements of the contracting community that really won't feel it right away. But I think it's going to cause a lot of chaos, particularly as we figure out what employees are going to be around, how are they going to be furloughed, and for what positions is that going to impact the program and contracting activities? And what about purchases that are more commodity based, where they can rein that in pretty easily? So I think it's going to be very disruptive, very hard to predict the impact of it, but obviously very disruptive if it does go into effect.
Well, on the commodity based side, GSA is waving its FSSI flag really hard right now for what I perceive to be minimal savings, but we aren't going there right now. Whole nother bailiwick, and I get very exercised about that. You said that some programs are going to be much less likely impacted, at least immediately. Which programs?
I think the ones that are viewed by agencies as mission critical, you're not going to see data centers shut down. The government's going to need to keep its means of operating still in the infrastructure associated with that still running. I think those programs that are obviously deemed as kind of related to national security are going to be much more protected, and they'll find ways to impact areas that are not kind of on the front lines of that. In civilian agencies, similarly, I think, where they have funds that are related to the operations and continuing operations of government, you're going to see those funds continue to be prioritized over the things that are more optional.
Some of the areas that are going to suffer some big cuts, even if Congress decides to, make some adjustments to the president's budget, are in aerospace and defense, which is the addressable market there is going down about 20% from 2012 to 2013. Construction, AEC market, and we're coming off the tail end of the stimulus, what stimulus did to that particular market. But that addressable market in AEC is going down about 15% from 2012 to 2013. So there's some severe checking up. What I think Kevin is talking about is important. Recognize that the information technology and other kinds of technologies are still going to be very important for keeping the government running. But the war fighting and the major investment capital investment requirements of the government have really kind of throttled back.
Okay. Will that spending impact SOCOM?
Not quite as much in SOCOM. They still have a pretty solid budget going into this fiscal year, the current fiscal year of 13, because those kinds of specialty capabilities, military capabilities, you can call them even broader national security capabilities, are quite important as we still continue to interact with some governments of lesser developed countries. So that's still a pretty good area in general.
Cool. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is the official radio show of FY 2013, and my guests are Kevin Plexico and Ray Bjorklund, the dynamic duo from Deltek. Gentlemen, I want to talk about which program areas are likely to come out a little better here, maybe a little worse here, or just be toast. So, Rayman, start us off.
All right. I already mentioned the last segment that areas of aerospace and defense and broad major construction programs, AEC activities, really being throttled back within the federal government. But there are still some bright spots within the market. And one of those, which I think a lot of folks in the IT community don't really think about too much because that's not really their business, is medical services. The cost of healthcare is continuing to go up, and the government has an enormous healthcare system, both for the military and for the veterans, and to some degree for the Native Americans. That's actually rising 7%, and that's like a $72 billion market. So there's enormous amount of spending on medical services, which is, you know, part of the government's mandate in this. The other significant areas are growing, even though aerospace and defense is going downhill from a broad viewpoint. There are some really bright spots within that, too. Space-based systems, which are used for communications and navigation and surveillance, there's some nice little increases in there. They've got to do some replenishment and reset. We've been hearing that for years as the war has been going on in Southwest Asia. There's still some nice growth in that area, too. But some of the newer technologies associated with ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, are some of the brighter spots in that. And so C4ISR is, you know, pretty good growth area, and generally space-based activities. And then there's the cyber market, and I think Kevin would probably be a good guy to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Ray, you've touched on a few of the areas that I hear as I talk to some of the private equity and investment community, and they look at the companies that are in the market and the ones that are getting higher valuations when they sell. It's typically around the areas you mentioned, healthcare, C4ISR. Cyber is certainly another area where we see a lot of acquisitions being taken place. And I think what's interesting there is not only is it being driven by the perception, and I would say bipartisan perception, that the government has to do a lot more to protect ourselves from the cyber threats, but also because the technology is still changing and the threats are still kind of getting identified every day. And so there's these point solutions that are getting introduced that solve very specific issues and take care of very specific threats. And you have these bigger companies coming along and buying them up to try to put together more collective solutions. So it's a very dynamic and interesting space. The other space that, you know, we didn't talk too much about, but I do think probably suffers a little bit in the construction environment, is energy and conservation related investments. We still see investments being made in the Department of Energy for R&D around energy, kind of reducing our energy dependence on foreign oil, as well as R&D and, you know, how we transfer energy, how we deploy energy, how we conserve it. And I think there's still going to be some potential opportunities in the defense world in particular for reducing the cost and the consumption of military facilities. There's a net zero program out there that is one of the larger defense programs that we see coming out of the Corps of Engineers, I think represents another opportunity for companies.
Okay. What about healthcare IT in particular? I know I work with a lot of companies that do business in Baltimore at various agencies, and they were extremely interested in the outcome of the election.
So I think there's two things to keep in mind in healthcare, and Ray alluded to this. The cost of healthcare is continuing to go up. You know, we pay more for healthcare. The government certainly pays more as a provider of health care in VA and DOD. And also, we're seeing the cost of healthcare go up as we implement the healthcare reform legislation. So there's infrastructure associated with supporting that that increase. But I also think it because of the size of the numbers associated with the cost of healthcare for the federal government, there's a lot of emphasis in identifying ways to reduce that cost and find savings in that, whether it be anti-waste, fraud, and abuse measures. And we talk about things like big data and where they can use big data, identify where they're wasting money and spending money they don't need to. And then also, we talk about health IT and electronic health records and technologies that are effectively reduce the cost of providing healthcare. So I think that's a good opportunity and definitely an area that's going to have a lot of growth over the next several years.
Okay. So and there seems to be a fair amount of action there for small businesses, because those are the ones that I'm advising, especially over at CMS.
I think it provides opportunities for large and small.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly in the big data world, unless the small business has a unique technology that applies to big data, it's often hard for the small business to scale to work with really, really big data. Mm-hmm. Just another comment on what Kevin was saying about health IT. That really at the federal level is not a really big market. It's about $900 million to $1 billion. That's a lot of money. I'd like to have that in my checking account.
You but, need both.
Yeah, but it's not really that big. And when you look at the Affordable Care Act and all of the requirements of it, there's not much out of that that really is addressable. So whether Obamacare stays in position or somehow gets partially repealed or adjusted, there's really not that much at the federal spending level. Now, state and local, absolutely, because of the health insurance exchanges and the requirement to do exchange or sharing of health information.
Yeah. By the way, during the debates, and this is not a political statement, this is a marketing statement, I really liked it when Obama said, "I'm beginning to like Obamacare," as a phrase.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
sort of took the wind out of other sails. But one area that we haven't discussed, and it was hot early in the Obama administration, and it actually pretty warm during Mr. Bush's terms as well, and that's the idea of green. GSA had that huge green push. I really haven't heard anything about that in well over a year. What is it still ongoing? Is there still an impact? Is there room for companies to leverage us?
To Kevin's point earlier about the Department of Energy and other energy organizations within the government, are spending money on trying to become more green, trying to learn how to become more green. And green really doesn't have so much to do with the color of leaves outside in the spring. It has more to do with the amount of money you got to spend. And so green really means saving money. And GSA was under a really enormous initiative under the one of the past recent administrators' leadership was really pushing hard for sort of a zero footprint GSA, zero footprint government. And so there are a lot of little mechanisms, particularly in GSA schedules, that really encourage green purchasing. And the government looks to those because that's an opportunity to save money, not necessarily be proactive for the environment. But it's a good thing. So it's still there, but it's not quite as strong as it used to be.
Well, after the event stuff hit the fan, the first conference of what I call major impact to take a hit was Public Building Services Green Building event, which could have, that one was a necessary.
Yeah. I think green's kind of faded a bit because it's, at the end of the day, it's really more about cost savings, to Ray's point. Mm-hmm. And green is nice for the marketing collateral, and it's nice for the positioning of your products that they satisfy the standards that the government's trying to establish or has established. But at the end of the day, I don't see green by itself as a standalone initiative with a lot of momentum behind it.
Thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree exactly with what Kevin is saying. He mentioned earlier about data centers and about mission critical work. A lot of that data center consolidation is really focused on saving money, and it just so happens a lot of the money for a data center is in energy costs.
Yeah.
And so they've become much more green. The government has become much more green.
The bigger they are, the cooler they got to be. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests are Kevin Plexico and Ray Bjork on the dynamic duo of Deltek. These guys can ferret out numbers in ways that save the contracting community massive amounts of time and will tell you where to spend your money, which is what we're going to talk about right now. The impact of all of this stuff, sequestration, the election, Every doom and gloom thing imaginable. What's the impact for small businesses? What's the outlook here for small businesses? I mean, the Hill still has Lord knows how many pending pieces of legislation that are more methane than substance. But and gee, what a surprise that is. But what? Give me a realistic view here for small biz.
I think we could talk about what has happened, which is, as we've seen, the federal contract spending declined, not dramatically, but by single points over the last couple years. We also looked at the growth rates of the companies in the market, and the growth rates have declined as well, as you might expect. Then the percentage of companies that are growing is a lot less now than it was. And so I think the challenge for small businesses, it's going to be harder for you to grow in this environment. You might still be able to succeed. You might still be able to pursue and win business, but it's going to be harder to grow at the pace and rate that companies have in the past. So it's just going to be a tougher market. And I think it really boils down to positioning. You got to be in places that are going to be faster swim lanes, where a customer is going to have additional money, or providing a very specialized capability that is very very essential for the agency to have, so that you can really make sure you're protecting yourself.
Yeah, we see, of course, a lot of small companies, and they're very positive and constructive entrepreneurial spirit, say we can do all things for all people. And to Kevin's point, as this market becomes much tighter, those companies are really going to have to find their sweet spot, their niche, their swim lane, and pretty much stick to it. Obviously, it has to be a swim lane that's going to lead to some sort of business. So they have to figure out how to make those connections with the necessary source of revenue for their future growth, because the big guys are still there, and they're hurting too. And so their elbows are quite large, and the ability for them to sort of punch off the small businesses and hold them at arm's length is still a very strong factor here. So the small guys have just got to figure out what they do best and do it well and earn those past performance qualifications and stick in their swim lanes.
Yeah, if you ever read any of my stuff, you know the differentiation for small business is a constant theme.
Yes.
But the large businesses, one of the ways they co-opt the small businesses is obviously subcontracting. And one of the major complaints I get on a daily basis from small businesses is, we signed an exclusive, they put us on our team, they're not giving us any business. And why the heck did you sign an exclusive?
Yeah, there might be another team out there that will give you some business.
Right.
But yeah, it's tough for smalls.
One resource I need to touch on before we go any further for small business, if you haven't signed up here, go to govwin.com. This is really a tremendous resource, and it has been now since the MySBX days into the adoption purchase by Deltek, I guess, 4 years ago now?
About two and a half in input, and then a year and a half ago for Fed sources, I think.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But excellent resource, and I believe both of you guys contribute to GovWin occasionally.
Yeah, we do.
So, and there you go. Before I go into the outlook for larger businesses, I'd also like to ask, what kind of events does Deltek have coming up in the near term? I know you just had your big to do down in Memphis,
Nashville.
We had the somewhere in Tennessee.
Big Deltek Insight conference.
And you didn't have to swim this time.
So. No. But we have our big event that we have coming up is our Fed Focus conference, which is really focused around helping companies understand what's going on in terms of issues and opportunities. So really delving into a lot more detail on what we're talking about today so that companies can be planning to position themselves in the right places for their business. And that's coming up on November 29th here in McLean.
Okay. Which venue this time?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Offhand, I don't know.
Okay, go to deltech.com, click on events, and look for the event on the 29th. That's always a great event to be there. Tell Patrick I really want an invitation to that.
I will.
I'm not subtle. I don't think I've ever been known for that. All right, the outlook for larger businesses in this, obviously, for several years now, they've been going after smaller and smaller contracts. Not that there's that many out there, but we see, you know, the usual suspects, Lockheed, Northrop, GD, CSC going, you know, for $5 and $10 million gigs, which they might have ignored completely 4 years ago.
That's correct. Yeah, I'd like to take it up a level first. And I think what has affected both small and large businesses as we've been slogging through this entire election cycle, which some people say has gone on for at least a year and a half, is that there's been so much uncertainty. And companies, whether they're large or small, have really been very challenged to think about their strategic position and where they should be moving next to in the marketplace because of uncertainty. Are you going to have a different president? Are you going to have a different administration? Are you going to have a different Congress? Well, now some of that is off the table. We still have the uncertainty of the fiscal cliff. But I think that a lot of companies, particularly the large businesses, have been using that uncertainty as a way of putting their head in the sand a bit. That they've tried to avoid or self-deny that it's a changed world. It's a changed world. And, you know, while people have for years have done analysis, like, say, in the aerospace and defense community, counting weapons systems and platforms, guess what? We don't need as many of those anymore because we have things like cyber tools and we have specialized things, as you mentioned earlier, like SOCOM, capable of prosecuting a war or carrying out a national security objective. So a lot of companies, I kind of wish they get a little cathartic and really kind of rethink it because they are not going to be getting the kinds of business that they have enjoyed for the last 40 years. And they're going to have to retool.
So, I mean, I feel larger companies definitely have a bit of an advantage in the space than over smaller companies. We see that in terms of the way agencies are moving to these task order-based contracts, literally a kind of across services areas, professional services, IT, even architecture, engineering, construction contracts are moving in that direction. So that tends to affect a small percentage of the companies that happen to win those positions, which invariably are the main large businesses. And then there's usually a few positions open for a small business, but there are thousands of small businesses. So you're going to affect really a very small percentage of them. So that's one area where I think they have an advantage. The other advantage that I think large businesses have, particularly the ones in this space, they have a lot of cash. And so they can acquire their way into other parts of the market that are growing and find those swim lanes through acquisition, where small companies are very challenged in being able to do that. I mean, they don't have that kind of ability.
If they're lucky, maybe they're the acquired.
If they're lucky, it'll be in a good space and get a good valuation for sure.
Right.
But if they're in, you know, say military logistics, where we're seeing decline in spending, and that's what you do, you're in trouble.
Yeah. So the bottom line is everybody's going to be fighting more for more business. Have you seen more contracts sort of unbundled and given a small biz component for X percentage of the work? Is that going to be a continuing trend?
I don't think so much unbundling. Of course, bundling is a nasty word. It's consolidation. So unconsolidated, I don't think we've seen quite as much of that. But because of what's been happening on the Hill about the small business legislation and the emphasis through not only the Hill but also the executive branch on trying to increase those opportunities for small business, the subcontracting objectives are being imposed upon particularly large businesses, mm-hmm. and the requirements for the subcontracting business plan are actually being enforced, which really has not been traditional in this marketplace for decades. And so I think, yes, to your point, that that's one of those places where small businesses can, you know, test their chops, as working under a large business. And to your other point about small businesses often not getting any revenue from that relationship, that's often true too. But if the subcontracting business plan is enforced by the government, they will in fact get revenue.
Kevin?
I don't feel like I have too much to add to that. I mean, I think the environment is definitely, like I said, favoring large business because of the dynamics, and they typically are the ones with the prime contracts. The bundling issue is a different issue than what I think I see going on from a contracting point of view, which is creating these task order-based vehicles that then they drive lots of work through that are could be unbundled, but they're unbundled through the same vehicles that are held by the same companies. So It's not really having, I think, the effect of except of helping a very small percentage of small businesses grow very quickly, and then you maybe get three or four, you know, replacements 2 or 3 years later.
Cool. All right. You're listening to AmTower Off Center, which is the official FY 2013 radio show on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests today, if you have not picked up, are the dynamic duo from Dell Tech, Ray Bjorklund and Kevin Plexico. Rayman and K-Plex are their official superhero names, at least on this show. Gentlemen, we've seen through Mr. Ice's committee and other pressures, the reduction of the ability of feds to attend industry events. How is this going to impact the market overall? We'll start with K-Man.
I think
K-Plex, sorry. Yeah.
I can change superhero names, it's fine. I think it has the rather unfortunate side effect of, you know, it is an unfortunate side effect of what happened in Las Vegas and some of the more publicized events that the government has either organized or participated in. And it really serves to make the community, I think, much more introverted and insular, which is, to me, totally opposite direction we should be going to improve the way government is run and managed and supported through contract relationships. You are taking away opportunities for government leaders to learn from the outside world and the commercial world things that can work very well for them. And you're also taking away opportunities for the companies that provide those types of solutions to educate government prospective customers about those capabilities. And I just don't think that's a good idea or a good way to go. I think it's ass backward.
Okay. I certainly understand conflict of interest rules. Having spent decades in the government myself, I really understand that. What is so unfortunate about these incidents that do occur that are evidence of, say, mismanagement, is that it creates a knee-jerk reaction. And the knee-jerk reaction just comes to the point, like the Army has basically said, hey, no more conferences, period. I mean, that's fundamentally what they're saying. And, you know, there's got to be some way of creating that dialogue, as Kevin is talking about, that is so, so important. But I think even beyond creating that dialogue and ensuring that dialogue works, I think it's very important for the sense of competition. The government is always looking for competition, and if they can provide information more openly to industry, then they will get better competition. And that's ultimately what's responsibility of the government in its contracting. So it's unfortunate when the dialogue breaks down. There's, you know, not only confusion, which unfortunately occurs in the procurement system on both sides of the table, but also the inhibition of competition.
Okay. And so I think it's also interesting and ironic how opposite it is relative to the myth-busting initiative that we heard out of OMB, which was designed to be more open and more communicative, yet we see them go in the opposite direction. So it definitely seems at odds with, you know, kind of their attitude.
To see the government act counter to reports that indicate behavior should be one way, and now, you know, just totally not. But to Ray's point, you know, the knee jerk reaction. I'm always totally shocked when somebody from the Hill reacts to get on the news.
Shocked.
You can imagine that I'm. That's why I don't watch news. I watch cartoons. I'll recite you a Scooby-Doo episode sometime in voice. All right. So all of this, the election sequestration, the program areas. What should companies be doing? I don't care what size the company is. But if there's different things companies should be doing, small and large, let's just go there.
I think, Ray said it well, that it's time for companies to take stock in their capabilities and how those capabilities really fit in the market, and whether their capabilities are right for the market environment that we're in, I think is an important question companies need to ask too. So starting with kind of the strategic discussion about where are you going to be focused, why are you focused in that way, and what do you bring to it that's unique from other companies and other organizations that are trying to do the same thing is certainly a key thing companies need to do. What I've seen as opportunities beyond kind of what we've talked about, where you look at specific markets that might be growing, there's also certain agencies that are growing faster than others that you could take your same capabilities and go do those types of things for those other agencies that happen to be growing. And there's also alignment to contract vehicles and companies that hold positions on those contract vehicles as a way of helping to make it easy for an agency to do business with you. When you look at different agencies, they have very different profiles in terms of how they buy and who they buy from and what vehicles they use. And I think as companies think about what agencies they're targeting, they also need to be thinking about how do I align to the way that they're buying so that I'm easy to do business with when I finally get a buyer who wants to work with me.
Yeah, and to kind of put it in a different light, besides the strategic realignment, I think it's really important for companies to read the rules, study.
Are you talking the FAR, the OMBs?
All of the above. I mean, it's painful, but to really understand how the government is required to operate will also give you the ability to define ways to be flexible within the way the government's required to operate. And a lot of companies don't like to do that because it's painful to read the rules. I think it's important also to read the budget. And I'm crazy because I like to read the budget.
That's why you're here.
It's a curse.
It's a curse.
There's a few of us who are cursed with a passion for government contracting. I don't know what we did to deserve this.
But. Yes, I know. But that is a way to really see what those very subtle trends are, very subtle trends. Like there's one instance in the budget for 2013 where a very, very large account was traditionally spending not too much money on contractors, but their entire account was being cut significantly, but the shift was occurring between civil service and contract. So it became a matter of increasing outsourcing as opposed to insourcing. But if you look at the top line, you know, what you see is just a reduction. And so you kind of brush it off and go off to something else. So reading the budget, I think the third thing that's really important is keeping extremely good books, because you will be audited and you have compliance requirements and you've got to keep good books. And the way you do that is by performing well and documenting what you're doing.
Right. Well, the flip side of that is a well-run program costs the contractor less as well, so your profit margin should be a little better.
Yes.
So final words here, gentlemen. I love
good luck.
Yeah, it's still going to be a tough slog, and I do hope that the Hill and the White House can get together on solving at least part of the fiscal cliff crisis, because we need to take more uncertainty out of the marketplace. And when that happens, then companies who otherwise should have been planning maybe will start planning and figure out how to move forward.
And I will add, I think that we probably have 2 to 3 more years of this kind of tough like environment before things get back to what I would characterize as, you know, normal 1 to 2% increases in discretionary spending. And even amidst this environment that we're in, there are still definitely some spots of opportunity that companies can participate in. They just need to be making sure they're in the right place.
Cool. Gentlemen, again, thanks so much for coming. One final question. Have you guys ever shared a stage at the same time anywhere? I want to be the
Yes,
first.
We have. And oh, I was talking about that yesterday evening when I actually punched Kevin on the stage. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, because Tom Temin got us all stirred up, you know. So.
Oh, that Temin guy.
Yeah. Total sucker punch, by the way.
Of course it was. Is there any better?
Now, that was before, to be fair, that was before we were in the same organization. That
absolutely.
We were still competing.
That's right. Oh. And that was the reason why, because we were in competition.
Cool.
Yeah.
What event was it? Do you remember?
It was the GuyTech Summit.
Okay.
Down in Orlando.
Yeah, that would have been a perfect one for you to share a stage on. Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing a studio with me.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is not my day job. If you want to improve your marketing program or make sure that it's paying all the ROI you needed to, give me a shout. You can find me at all over LinkedIn or at federaldirect.net. And again, to see the, and if you want more education in the market, go to the Government Market Master group on LinkedIn to see our upcoming seminars at Capital College, or go to GovWin. They've got an ongoing webinar series. It's always quite good. And again, thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center, the official radio show of FY 2013, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.